Friday morning, Judge Juan Merchan had to smack down not one, not two, not three, but four attempts by Donald Trump's legal team to get their hands on information that, one, they actually should have asked for during the discovery process, and two, that they're not even legally entitled to. It all began when Donald Trump's lawyers said, "We want to subpoena the Manhattan District Attorney's Office for any and all communications regarding former prosecutor Mark Pomerantz." Now, everybody, I'm sure, remembers Mark Pomerantz was one of the prosecutors that was on the team when Cy Vance was the Manhattan District Attorney. Alvin Bragg was elected, took over, killed several investigations, and Pomerantz said, "This is BS, I'm leaving." He did that very publicly with an op-ed. And Pomerantz is also likely, to be called as a witness in this case. And so Trump's lawyer said, "Give us all the info you got on this guy." And the judge said, "Absolutely not. I'm not going to let you go on this obvious fishing expedition." In fact, here's what the judge actually said. It's far worse than what I just said. "The court finds that the request runs afoul of a New York state law protecting an attorney's work product. In fact, defendant acknowledges that the memorandum," where he said that this was a zombie case and, you know, he wasn't a fan of the hush money case Pomerantz did, "acknowledges that the memorandum is likely the prosecutor's opinion, theory, or conclusion on the topics requested. Indeed, defendant uses the term evaluating within the request." So Judge Merchan has to slap down that request, telling them, first of all, it runs afoul of New York law, you should know that. But two, even you acknowledge that this is just this dude's opinion. So, no. He then said, "It's far too broad," and found that they amounted to, quote, "an improper fishing expedition into general discovery, including all documents from multiple individuals seeking evidence of former attorney Michael Cohen's recollections about his time with the ex-president and," quote, "any form of bias or animosity toward President Trump." That was actually part of the second request he denied. The third request: "Given the amount of materials related to these requests already turned over to the defendant, there is no reasonable likelihood that the second and third requests would uncover any information that is relevant and material to the proceedings." In other words, you've gotten everything you needed during the discovery process. Why are you asking me for more? We're halfway through this trial and you want to go back to discovery? That's not how trials even work. Merchan also rejected a fourth request for a subpoena seeking all documents reflecting communications within the district attorney's office about the collection of evidence, which the judge considered an improper attempt to peek into the investigation. The judge wrote, quote, "This appears to be an attempt to obtain DANY's internal communications about their discovery obligations. The people's motion to quash this aspect of the subpoena is granted." In other words, you guys are overstepping your bounds. You're asking for things you know you're not legally even entitled to. You're asking for things about other people's opinions that aren't even actually a part of this, really. So, in other words, the judge is like, "What the hell are you doing? Like, why am I having to waste my time to go through this nonsensical garbage with you when you know, you admit in your own filings that you can't even do this?" But this is what we're dealing with. Trump's lawyers are panicking. The trial is not going well for them at all. So they're throwing everything at the wall to see what sticks. And so far, Judge Merchan has been smart enough to see through each and every one of these attempts and swat them down as quickly as possible. According to multiple Republicans in the Senate who recently spoke to The Hill, they have found a new pastime over the last couple weeks. And that pastime has been openly, to his face, making fun of Ted Cruz, which, to be honest, that is a fun pastime. I am not going to begrudge these Republicans who say, "Hey, we've spent the last 2 weeks laughing in Ted Cruz's face because this guy has finally realized what a jackass he has been for all of the years he has been in the Senate." Here's what happened. For the last 2 weeks, Ted Cruz was put in charge of whipping up the Republican votes and kind of shooting down their amendments for a bill that would reauthorize the Federal Aviation Administration for the next 5 years. Now, this legislation not only would improve air travel here in the United States, but it also gives us the money for airport security. So, pretty big important bill that, by the way, did pass last Thursday evening. But Ted Cruz was in charge of making sure it passed because he was the ranking Republican on the committee where the bill was obviously first considered. And what happened is that these Republicans in the Senate finally realized, uh-oh, Ted Cruz is now in the position where we usually are, and he's usually the guy that obstructs everything we're trying to do, like these must-pass budget bills. So let's give him, as they put it, a taste of his own medicine. One unnamed Senate Republican told The Hill, quote, "It's been entertaining to be able to watch." Another one, Republican Senator Kevin Cramer, said this, "Let's just say he's taking a lot of ribbing right now in there. Of course, he's making a pitch that this is different than all the other times when he's insisted on having amendment votes because this one was much more transparent. People are slightly amused by his compliance." Another Republican put it, "A lot of times it's been him, so he's getting a little bit of his own medicine. It's a little humorous." And then, of course, you had Republican Senator John Thune, who said, "Sometimes when you're in the position of wanting to get an outcome, the legislative process looks slightly different to you than it may at other times. People are having fun with it. It's all good-natured humor." And they also tell the story about how last Wednesday, the day before the bill actually passed, at their little Republican weekly lunch, everybody just sat there making fun of Ted Cruz, right? He now has to be responsible. He can't be the obstructor. Let's all laugh and make fun of him because now he gets to see what he's been doing to us for 12 years. And it's a little obnoxious, isn't it, Ted? A little annoying to now be on the other side of that when you realize, uh-oh, we actually have to do a job, but sometimes you have a jackass pop up that won't let us do the job. How does it feel, Ted? Is what these Republicans were saying to him. But Ted Cruz took it all in stride, right? He went out and he told The Hill, quote, that Republicans were having great joy giving me grief. I just laughed and said, I'm not even going to fight back. Like, it's all fun, right? You know, I was a jackass for 12 years. They get to be a jackass to me for a couple weeks. You know, it all evens out, right? Here's the other thing about this story that The Hill didn't really touch on. As I said, this was a must-pass budget bill. They passed it Thursday evening. The deadline was Friday before the funding ran out for airport security. Okay? You know, if there's one thing here in the United States that I think both parties should kind of agree on, you know, based on history, is we need airport security. Like, of all the times to play games and to, you know, really sock it to Ted Cruz, maybe this wasn't the best time, right? I mean, you came right down to the wire getting this bill passed that could literally save lives or cost lives if you didn't do it. So, you know, I'm all for making fun of Ted Cruz nonstop all the time. You know, we could do it. You just call me up. We'll make fun of him right now. But when it comes to passing legislation, that's the thing you need to take a little bit more seriously than you guys do. I'm glad you're having some fun up there at Ted Cruz's expense, but you almost did it at the expense of the American public's safety just to kind of stick it to Ted Cruz. He deserves it, but we damn sure don't. Donald Trump recently attended a dinner that was also attended by heads of some of the biggest oil and gas companies here in the United States. And during Donald Trump's little sales pitch to these evil bastards, Donald Trump actually did his best impression of Dr. Evil from the Austin Powers movie series, where he offered to kill environmental regulations in the United States, get rid of electric cars, if those oil barons are willing to give him $1 billion. Again, apologies for the horrible Dr. Evil impression there. I wasn't even trying to do the voice, but Donald Trump literally went out there and said, "You guys give me $1 billion and I'll make sure that you get every single thing you've ever wanted from the federal government. Usually, these are the kinds of conversations that happen with a wink and a nod between politicians and industries, right? Nobody actually comes out and says, give me money and I'll do this. But Trump said it. And he said it very publicly and very openly, without any hint of shame or, of course, any fear of being charged with extortion. Because by definition, that is extortion. Here's what I mean. Donald Trump told these people, one, I will give you everything that you want. I will open up the Gulf of Mexico for you to just get all the oil out of it. The Arctic, I'll open that up for you. I'll kill the so-called electric car mandate, which isn't a thing. It's actually a regulation on the emissions coming from tailpipes on vehicles. Doesn't even actually mention electric vehicles at all, but Trump's a moron, so he says that. He also said, I'm going to open up for imports, exports of liquefied natural gas. I'll kill regulations and I'll cut your taxes. So that is what Trump is offering to them. But they only get it. They only get that protection. And that word is important for extortion. If you give me $1 billion. This is no different than like a mafia protection racket, right? Like the mafia goes into the small business and says, hey, it'd be a shame, you know, if somebody were to come in here and break all your windows and, you know, steal all the money out of your cash register. Now, we can prevent that from happening. We'll make sure nobody breaks in here. We will protect you if you pay us money. And that's what Donald Trump said to these oil executives. I will protect you, but only if you give me this protection money. $1 billion, the broke-ass former president said. By definition, that is extortion. Extortion, I don't know if I need to remind people of this, is still illegal here in the United States. Even among politicians, it's still illegal. So not only is Donald Trump telling us straight up that he is going to absolutely decimate our already decimated environment if he gets back into office, but depending on how a legal expert would look at this, in my eyes, this is a crime. That's how I am viewing this. I am viewing this as him trying to extort money out of these oil barons in exchange for protection. So, okay. Again, this is the kind of thing that happens with politicians, unfortunately, from both parties all the time. But nobody uses those words, right? There's no explicit quid pro quo. It's implicit, right? It's implied. We're going to give you all this money. Oh, by the way, you know, there's a horrible piece of legislation coming up. You know, we really hope that doesn't pass. By the way, here's that check again. Okay, we'll see ya. But because there is no spoken quid pro quo, not illegal. What Trump did is a whole new thing. So there you have it. You got the guy who's already facing what? Some reports say 88 felony charges. Some say 91, 92. I do know a couple of them in Georgia got tossed out. So let's say guy already facing 88 felony indictments out there openly attempting to extort the oil industry. Yeah, I'd say this guy has no problem running afoul of the law and even just kind of skirting right along the line of it. But either way, this is who you've chosen, Republicans. Hope you're happy. Laura Trump, the co-chair of the Republican National Committee, defied reality. And she, by the way, even admitted she's defying reality in an interview with Newsmax host Eric Bolling last week. Now, what happened was that Laura Trump proclaimed that obviously Donald Trump accepts the results of elections in the United States. You'd kind of be crazy to suggest that he doesn't. Because as we all know, if there's one thing Donald Trump is known for, it's absolutely accepting the results of elections here in the United States, right? It's not like he's facing multiple felony charges for refusing to accept election results in the U.S., right, Laura? But here is how this exchange went down. Eric Bolling opens it up by asking Laura Trump, quote, You have Barack Obama, Joe Biden, now Hillary Clinton saying something to you to the effect of, if Trump loses, he will not accept the results. Is that coordinated? Now, before I get into Laura Trump's response here, is that coordinated? Why would all of these people who are a part of the Democratic Party have the same talking point? Like, when has a political party ever had the same talking point? What a like Eric Bolling is a genuinely stupid person. Not to mention the fact, as I had previously said, this isn't a coordinated, hey, let's come up with a talking point. Trump literally didn't accept the results of the 2020 election. So it's not a far out thought for multiple people to have that he won't accept the results of the 2024 election. He's even admitted he probably won't accept them if he doesn't think they're fair. But anyway, idiots aside, let's move on to the other idiot, Laura Trump, and her response. I think, isn't it all coordinated? Isn't all of this stuff coming from one place? Yeah, it is. Your father-in-law, you idiot. It's pretty obvious that Donald Trump does accept election results, even despite the fact that it was a very questionable election in 2020 because Joe Biden is unfortunately sitting in the Oval Office today. What Donald Trump has said, and I think he's exactly right, is that we should have free, fair, and transparent elections. And unfortunately, Eric, there are millions and millions of Americans out there who don't feel like they can trust our electoral process. We can't function as a country like that. Because millions and millions of people feel they can't trust the electoral process. Now, they have no proof to validate their feelings. You know, isn't it facts don't care about your feelings, Laura? Isn't that what the Republicans love to say? But the reason actually that these people don't trust the electoral process is because Trump told them not to trust the electoral process. So the guy that you said obviously accepts the election results is the reason people don't accept the election results, because he lied about the 2020 election. And you say he accepts those results, even though he clearly does not, because he still hasn't conceded. And he has still mentioned this year that the election was stolen. But then Laura goes on to actually admit that Trump may not accept the 2024 election results. So the whole reason she's pissed off, people saying he's not going to accept the results, that's ridiculous. Then she literally says he may not accept the results. She goes, he will accept the results of November's election if he feels it was a fair election. If he feels it was a fair election, he'll accept them. So you're admitting to the same thing that Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and Hillary Clinton are saying is going to happen. You're like, yeah, they're right. They're wrong, but they're right. Not to mention the fact that the RNC that you are running currently has 83 active lawsuits in 25 states across the country challenging their voting systems because you don't accept election results. So don't you dare sit there and try to deny the very reality that we live in. Trump does not accept election results. If he loses, no matter what, he will not accept the results of the 2024 election. And you even freely admit that. So enough with trying to act like everybody else is stupid. That's something that, by the way, stupid people do. Stupid people who don't understand things always assume that everybody else is dumber than them. But trust me, in a conversation between Eric Bolling and Laura Trump, there are no smart people. But they think they're smart, and they think you're stupid. That's just how twisted their reality has become. Thanks for listening to today's Fair and Balanced Daily. Stay up to date with all of our content by finding us on YouTube at youtube.com/fairandbalanced and follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Fair and Balanced.